Good evening. It's time for us to begin our service. And we're going to open with number 281. Number 281 in the Red Book. And shall we stand? My kind and all-wise Heavenly Father, Lord, we approach Thee again this evening. Lord, as we have set aside this time to come together and to hear Your Word preached, I pray that Your Spirit would be here to touch each of our hearts, that You'd open our minds and our understanding, that You'd open our ears, that we would be able to be attentive and be able to pay attention to the things that You would have presented tonight. Father, we ask that You'd bless my brother Jim, as he stands before us. Father, that You give him strength of body, but also strength of mind. Give him the words that You would have us to hear, that would be edifying to our souls, that would guide and direct us in our path, and that might point us to Thee. I pray, Father, that You would give him that message. Father, I pray that You would be with us here tonight. I pray that You would especially bless those who are scattered and isolated, who don't have this opportunity, that You'd comfort and strengthen them. And Father, we are truly thankful that we have had this place to meet, that we have this the gospel, that You have given us these scriptures to guide and direct us in our life. I pray, Father, that You'd help us to understand. I'm thankful, Father, for the gift of Thy Son. I'm thankful for Your goodness to us always. And Father, I pray that You would bless Your people, that You would humble us, that You would chastise us, Lord, that You'd forgive us when we fail Thee and help us to see the error of our ways, that we truly might turn wholly to Thee. And Father, I do pray these things in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we'll now be blessed with a special. Thank you, ladies. Gives me a great deal of pleasure tonight to introduce our speaker. As most of you know, Jim spent 20-some-odd years as a firefighter, happened to be ready at a moment's notice to respond to whatever is called upon. He served his community for many years, and so he's known at least since this morning that he was going to preach tonight, and so he's had lots of time to prepare. But he spends a lot of time on the road, so we don't always have a chance to hear him preach, and so we're really doubly blessed this evening. And so I'd ask that you might give our brother Jim your careful and your prayerful attention this evening.
Bob, I thank the ladies for that beautiful song, and I hope that by the time I get through tonight that truly our eyes and ears and heart will be illuminated to the truth, if I can bring any out at all. I did have a little bit more time to prepare this than I did my first sermon. As some of you here remember, I was called right out of the audience. Tough. And I don't remember what I said. This morning, Brother Bob stood up and I thought for a little bit he was going to preach my sermon. And tonight all we have to do is just stick it in the machine and play it back. No such luck. He went a different direction. But I would like to read again that first scripture he read after reading the story of young Joseph as he was perplexed. If you're looking that up, that's the first chapter of James, fifth verse. On which church to join. And he remembered this scripture. I'm going to read it to you again. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. He was seeking which church he should belong to. And there was quite a few churches around. He didn't know which way to go. That same thing happens today. The only thing is, it's more perplexing today, because I don't know what 100, 200 churches maybe then. No idea. Today there's 33,800 churches out there. How do you know which is the right church? You have to do as Joseph did. You have to read the scriptures. You have to be prayerful and not be afraid to get on your knees. I'd like to go to Matthew. Matthew, 7th chapter, 7th and 8th verse. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And if we go over into 2 Nephi, I believe it's page 163. Fifth verse tells us almost the same thing. Wherefore, now after I have spoken these words, if you cannot understand them, it is because you have neither knocked, neither do ye knock. Wherefore, ye are not brought into the light, and ye must perish in the dark. Now, the third chapter of Malachi, 6th verse, says, for I am the Lord, and I change not. And if he is unchangeable, and we knock for that door to be opened, and we seek wisdom, he's going to give it to us. Because he's unchangeable from all eternity to all eternity. And being that he is unchangeable, those things that he caused to be written, that we search out to find which way we should go, are just as true today as they were when he caused them to be written many, many years ago. And in those scriptures, if we are searching, we will find that Jesus set up his church. That church that Joseph went out to pray about, which one to, he needed to belong to. And so if he set up his church, we're going to find it in the scriptures. Go to Matthew 16. I just want to read the last part of that verse. Red letters, which means it's Jesus speaking. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, if he is unchanging, as we read in the scriptures, we know that he built that church. Let's go to Ephesians 5. Again, I want to read just the last part of the verse, verse 23. Even as Christ is the head of the church, he is the Savior of the body. So we see that he is setting up that church that he said he's going to build. That he truly did build his church. As we go through the scriptures and search, we find many places that prove that point. One of them is in Romans 16, 16. He says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. They can't salute you if he didn't build it. Now we know that he brought that same church that he built in the old country to this country when he came here, to the Americas. I'd like to go to the 3rd Nephi, 12th chapter. Page 672. We're going to find out the name of this church that he built or caused to be built. And we'll start reading at maybe the 12th verse. And it came to pass that they did do all things, even as Jesus had commanded them. And they who were baptized in the name of Jesus were called the Church of Christ. We might stop right there and say, well, that tells us. But there was doubters and those who murmured, even within some of his disciples, I guess. So we're going to go on to where there's no doubt at all. 14th verse. And it came to pass that the disciples of Jesus were journeying and were preaching the things which they had both heard and seen, and were baptizing in the name of Jesus. And it came to pass that the disciples were gathered together and were not united in mighty prayer and fasting. And Jesus again showed himself unto them, for they were praying unto the Father in his name. And Jesus came and stood in the midst of them, and he said unto them, What will ye that I should give to you? And they said unto him, Lord, we will that thou wouldst tell us the name whereby you should call this church. For there are disputations among the people concerning this matter. And the Lord said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, why is it that this people should murmur and dispute because of this thing? Have you not read the scriptures? That's what we're doing now. To try and come to that understanding of where his true church is. That's what Joseph did when he went out into that sacred grove. He had read the scriptures. If you need wisdom, pray about it. Truly, and you will receive your answer. Have ye not read the scriptures, which say ye must take upon you the name of Christ, which is my name? For by this name ye shall be called in the last day. And whosoever take upon him my name and endures to the end, very important part, enduring to the end after you take upon him, upon you, his name. The same shall be saved in that last day. Therefore, whatsoever you do, ye shall do it in my name. Wherefore, ye shall call the church in my name. And he didn't beat around the bush, did he? Laid it right on the line, be called in my name. But he didn't stop there. And ye shall call upon the Father in my name, that he will bless the church for my sake. And howbeit my church, save it be called in my name. Told them in one verse twice what the church is supposed to be called. For if the church be called in Moses' name, that is Moses' church. Or if it be called in the name of a man, then the church of a man. But if it be called in my name, then it is my church. But again, he didn't stop. He went on to a very important part. If it so be that it is built upon my gospel. There's where Joseph Smith was having problems. He saw those churches weren't built upon the gospel of Christ. They had let things enter in and was teaching falsehoods. Now, I don't think that 33,800 churches are all teaching his gospel. Because he's telling us there's one church. And they've got a 33,800 different names. And it's not called the Church of Christ. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, 12th chapter. We're going to go to the 28th verse. We're going to find out that what he did after he set up his church. And God has said, some in the church, first, apostles. Secondary prophets, thirdly, teachers, and after that, miracles, and then gifts of healings and helps of governments and diversities of tongues. He didn't say first a pope, first a president. He says first apostles. How many of those 33,800 churches have first apostles in their church? There's some that have apostles, but they've got a president or a prophet or somebody above them. Not first apostles. Eleventh verse in the fourth chapter of Ephesians tells us that Christ is the chief cornerstone of that church. So we're finding out a little bit more all the time about this church. I'd like to go to Ephesians, fourth chapter. Fifth verse goes like this: one Lord, one faith, one baptism. We haven't got to that point in the world yet, have we? There's many faiths out there. We haven't come to that point. And as long as man continues to take the scriptures and twist them to his interpretation, we're not going to come to that point. They teach many things in the churches today. They're not scriptural. They can't prove them. They come out of the mind of some man someplace along the line. We just read one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Many of those worldly churches out there today don't need to be baptized anymore. Just believe and you're saved. Just believe and you're saved. They didn't read their scriptures very good. Either that or they're reading now the modern day Bibles that have completely left out chapters, verses, on purpose, to lead the masses astray the way they want them to go, the way they want them to think, not the truth. But if they want to read their scriptures, find this church. They're going to find out that baptism is a necessity. You can go to 3rd chapter of Matthew. Third chapter of Matthew, 15th verse. We know that Jesus went down to the river where John was baptizing, and he wanted John to baptize him, and John didn't want to do it, did he? He said, no, I have need to be baptized of you. But the 15th verse says, Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it be so now, for thus it becomes to us to fulfill all righteousness. A necessity. You can't eliminate it. You can't take it out of your scriptures and not teach it to your people. So then Jesus set the example for all of us to follow. The next verse. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending up like a dove and lighting upon him. Setting the example for you and me. The only way. In the Book of Mormon it says, in one place there, and he's talking to the people about baptism, he says, follow thou me and do the things you see me do. We read further on in the scriptures past this here where Jesus and his disciples were baptizing. Well, they can say it's not necessary if they want to, but Jesus said it was. Go to Mark 16:16. I'm going to read the 15th verse. And he said unto them, Jesus speaking, red letters, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Pretty strong language from the Savior. But he knows what he's talking about. You have to be baptized. Now we read in the scriptures that all things are proven with two or three witnesses. Here Jesus says that if you believe not and are not baptized, you're damned. You can find four other places in the Book of Mormon that tell you the same place, same thing. And if you want to look them up, I'll give you the scriptures. 3 Nephi 5:35. Second Nephi 6:49. Mormon 486. Ether 1:115. Tells us the same. That if you don't believe and repent and baptize, you're damned. 3 Nephi, 12th chapter, 13th verse. It says, "And they who were baptized in the name of Jesus was called the Church of Christ." Again, telling us that you had to be baptized and also what the church is called. In this church that Jesus set up, he taught many things. Among them was repentance and baptism, which we just read. Good works. You had to be converted as a little child to become the kingdom of heaven. You can read that in Matthew 18, third verse. And again, the churches of the world deny the word of works. Don't have to have them. Don't have to have good works. But again, the scriptures say, yes, you do. I'd like to go to 3 Nephi, 13th chapter. Page 675, I believe. Eleventh verse. Now this verse, if it was in the Bible, would be red letters. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, he said unto his disciples, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life. And few there be that find it. But wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to death. And many there be that travel therein until the night cometh, wherein no man can work." My brother Bob touched on that this morning. We have to have good works. There's another one in 20th chapter of Revelations, it brings out the same thing. Twelfth and 13th verse, 20th chapter. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works." So again, modern man has tried to go off in a tangent some way and eliminate certain things from the scriptures. But we can't eliminate them. We have to hold on to them. Seventh chapter of Matthew. Again, Brother Bob touched on this morning, 13th and 14th verse. "Enter ye in the straight and narrow gate," or the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, few there be that find it. Now this is red letters. When the Lord said, few there be that find it, I think he knows what he's talking about. Not all will find it. But if we believe this, that straight and narrow path will take us right straight to the church. But if we don't believe it, we'll have to go clear back to the beginning and start all over again and search out all the scriptures that lead us up to this point in time. This morning, Bob also spoke about that great and spacious building that we call the world. That can get us in a lot of trouble. If we're on that straight and narrow path, and got our hand on that rod of iron that leaves to the tree of life, and we turn loose because of that mocking finger over there in that great and spacious building, can cause us a lot of grief. We can go over there and have a good time, but it's virtually impossible to turn our back on it and get back on that straight and narrow path. I think I recall a dream that Uncle Skeet said. I think it was a dream he had, where he was climbing a mountain. Very steep, narrow, rough, rugged trail. Having a tough time to get to the top of this mountain. And he was getting tired. And he heard some noise, and he turned around and looked, and he looked down below. And there was a lot of people down there singing and dancing and having a good time. He thought he'd go down there for a while and join them. Terrible mistake, which he found out. Because when he decided the thing to do was to get away from there, he didn't belong there. He went back to the trail, and the trail wasn't there. It was all overgrown with briars and brambles and brush of all kinds. And he couldn't see it. And he had to fight his way through all of that to reach the top of the mountain. Once we found that church and got a hold of that rod of iron, we need to be like the farmers with their horses. We need to put a blinder on. We can't see that down there. Plug our ear so we don't want no part of that, because it's going to cost us our life, our spiritual life, with our Lord and Master forever and ever. Jesus taught common people. Not the rich and the famous, because they didn't have enough time for him. The scriptures, for the most part, we search them out prayerfully, are easy to understand. We don't have to have a college or a university degree to understand. In fact, it seems like the more education you have, the farther you drift away from the scriptures, which is sad. To get back to the original point, if we really want to find the church, we can find it. It's all right here in these scriptures that I read, plus I'd like to go back to the 7th chapter of Matthew. Oh, we're still in the 7th chapter. And read once again the 7th and 8th verse. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. That's a promise. That's red letters. He does not lie. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If we do this, He will open our eyes, spiritual eyes. If when we read these scriptures, we will know and understand. That will lead us to that church that he set up so many years ago, that is still here, contrary to the thoughts of the outside world. We still have apostles. We're still set up the same way that he set it up. We still believe in the same commandments that he brought forth. And if we endure to the end, truly we will live with him and his Father. If we believe this, we will find the truth and the church. I'd like to read one more scripture. John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. We are going to close our service with number 356 in the red book. And while you're looking that up, I'll read the announcements for the week. And shall we stand? Thank you. Would you bow with me in prayer? My kind and all-wise Heavenly Father, Lord, as we would humbly approach Thee tonight, thankful for this day that we've had, the Sabbath that You've created to separate ourselves and to dedicate ourselves to Thee, to renew our minds and our hearts, to rededicate our commitments to Thee. I'm thankful, Father, for Your plan and for Your wisdom in our lives. Father, I'm thankful for Your message You caused to be brought to us tonight. I pray that we would be found holding on to that rod of iron and that we might seek that Your church and Your will in our life. Father, I pray that You'd bless our many who are sick and afflicted physically, but more especially spiritually, that You touch their minds and their hearts and renew them and bless them. I pray for our young people. Father, I pray for each of us as we would go our separate ways this evening. You would watch over and protect us on the roads, that You would bless us this week as we would go back into the world, back to our jobs and back to school or work and our daily activities and the temptations of this world. I pray, Father, for Your strength. I pray, Father, for Your watch care keeps. Help us to overcome this world and to be found with Thee for eternity. I pray for those who will be traveling this week that You would watch over and protect them and bring them safely to their destinations. And I pray for it in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.